Take your Bibles, go to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to look at this idea of seeking God when trouble comes. This is a great passage on prayer. And you'll probably have to study it a little bit more. I'm going to give you about 7 points in this message and fly through it if I can. But let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1, and we'll read all the way down to 12. If we had time, I'd read it a little further, but we'll stop at verse 12. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon were with them on the other side of the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazar Tamar, and which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? Ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and all the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none are able to withstand thee? Art thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." If you underline in your Bible, I don't know if you mark your Bible. I like to mark my Bible. I've underlined that. "But our eyes are upon thee." We're going to look at seeking God when trouble comes. Let's pray and ask God's blessing, then we'll get into the message. Lord, we're so thankful you are a God who hears us, and you delight in our prayer. Lord, as we look into your word today, I'm asking that you would challenge each of us. Change us to be more like you. Help us to learn some truths that we can apply to our lives even this morning. We're thankful for this student body. I pray that you'd encourage people. I don't know what each one's going through, what they're experiencing, but I know that we can seek your face in troubled times. Bless this time, we pray, and we ask for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a little background. A foreign invasion is about to take place. Three enemies are launching to attack Israel. King Jehoshaphat receives word of this in verse 2. He looks The situation looks hopeless. What is he going to do? Is he going to choose to stand and fight? Or is he going to seek out help? He chooses to seek out help. And he goes to the Lord in prayer. He set himself to seek the Lord to proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. You know, when God intervenes, man can have victory. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26b says this, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It is vitally important that we seek God when we experience troubled times. Many times when we go through life, we sometimes want to be a victim, but we're not victims. We are victors through Jesus Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Our victory comes because of Christ. It's not because of our own self pulling ourselves up. It's because of Christ. You know, God's given the church everything it needs to overcome in this life and overcome the devil's power. I love the passage where Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 18, the last part, he says this, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This morning, we're going to look at seven truths as we seek God out in trouble, when trouble comes our way. Number one, I want you to see there was the position of the enemy. The position of the enemy. Verse 2 says, there cometh a great multitude against thee. The enemy was positioning themselves to fight against Israel. Let me remind you, the enemy is real. The enemy is present today in our world. And when we go out to serve the Lord, the enemy is going to be present. The Lord wants us to depend on him. But Satan wants to position himself against those who stand with God. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to make you think that you can't do this. But with all things are possible with God. 1 John 4:4 reminds us this. As John says, he says, hear of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is working hard against God and his church. It looks like evil is prevailing in our world, doesn't it? It's a mess. Man, our world is messed up. I don't like watching the news anymore. I don't read paper. That's kind of old-fashioned. I don't know who does that. Maybe some people do. But we've got the internet with our phones and everything. The world's a mess. Men are calling good evil and evil good. Let me remind you, there's no greater, more exciting time to be light in this world. The darker the world around us, the brighter the gospel light can be. To be salt, to make people thirst after God. I do, and I really believe this, that the challenges of this next generation, your generation that you're facing, that you're going to face, I believe God has equipped you for the time. The older generation are looking at this and we're like, wow, they're going to face a lot of new things. They're going to have trouble with this new things that are happening in our world. But I really believe God's equipping you and preparing you for this time to serve him. Esther 4:14 says this, for such a time as this, he will help you take a stand for truth. Eric Weinheimer was a blind rock climber, mountaineer. He made this statement, "What's within you is stronger than what's in your way." Now, this gentleman is blind, and he climbed 7 of the most tallest mountains in the world, being blind. You think about Mount Everest and the challenges with people who have full sight. Yet he was blind, and he climbed all the way to the top. You know, I think that statement for the believer is true, very true. He who's in you is greater than he that's in the world. God, with God, all things are possible. You know, when Stephen, one of the deacons of the church, was stoned in Acts chapter 8, it had a profound impact on the church. They thought it's going to silence the church, but it didn't. It empowered the church. People stood up and wanted to go forth and share the gospel. Satan uses fear as a tactic to stop you from serving the Lord. There was great fear we see in verse 3 of our text this morning. What do you do when you experience fear? Where do you turn when you experience fear? We must turn to the only one that can help us, and that's God. He's the one that can answer. He's the one we turn to. This is what King Jehoshaphat did. He went to the Lord. Fear is a weapon used by Satan. Fear can bring about sickness, depression, distress, anxiety, worry, confusion. Fear robs us of a joy. It allows us, it takes over our mind and wants us to take captive of our minds and bring us into bondage. This bondage captivates our mind. It consumes our thoughts. It terrifies our minds. We must be reminded that fear comes not from God, but from the devil. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." I love this next part, "but of power, love, and a sound mind." Power, dunamis is the Greek word there. Dynamite, we get the idea of dynamite, but having a sound mind with dynamite. I had a friend in Colorado that he drove a Willys Jeep down the mountains, and he said he had all kinds of dynamite. They were using dynamite to blow up stumps and remove stumps from their area where they were grazing cattle. He says, but there was only one problem. The Jeep didn't have any brakes. And I'm like, what? He's got all this dynamite in the back and no brakes in the Jeep? I said, what did you do? He says, oh, I got a little tricky. I was downshifting and finally turned it tight enough so I didn't roll over. And I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. Listen, we have power, love, and a sound mind God gives us, not fear. People are paralyzed by fear. It doesn't matter who you are or how spiritual you are. Sometimes in life, you're going to face fear. We can try to face the fear on our own, or we can take it to the Lord. King Jehoshaphat sought the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing, folks. We see, number one, the position of the enemy. But number two, I want you to see, there was prayer of the people. There was prayer of the people. The king proclaimed a fast. We find that in verses 3, the end of verse 3 through 4, proclaimed a fast and asked for help of the Lord. The king sought out the Lord in prayer. King Jehoshaphat pulled out the biggest weapon he had that was available to him, the weapon of prayer. That's the biggest weapon we have. How many times do we not access that weapon against the one, the enemy against us? Ladies and gentlemen, we have that same weapon at our disposal. Did you hear me? We have that same thing, that weapon of prayer we can use. We often forget to call on the Lord in prayer, don't we? How many times in life we face problems and difficulties? We try to solve the problems in our own means. We forget to call upon the one who can help us, the Lord. The king proclaimed a fast to all the people of Judah. When God's people pray, things happen. They really do. One cannot be a strong Christian without prayer. He stands best who kneels most. Dr. Ron Comfort said that. You know, we have the privilege of going into the presence of God with prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing. When I was a youth pastor and serving as a youth pastor, we would take trips to different countries. One of them was Mexico. We had the privilege of going into Mexico. And I remember we went into this one village that had not been able to share the gospel before. It was a new village going into this area. It happened to be a Thursday night. Well, little did we know, Thursday night, that was movie night. They would bring in this big truck, and then they would have a huge screen. They put out speakers, and so this little village was bombarded by the sound of this Hollywood film. And I thought, oh man, we're going to be sharing the gospel here with these folks. What are we going to do? And I thought, let's get our groups together. And this is with teenagers. And I said, get with your prayer group and let's ask God to break the film. And so we're praying along. And as we're praying, all of a sudden, about 10 minutes into it, it went completely silent. Well, one of the Mexicans went over to find out what happened. Sure enough, God broke the film. Stopped the sound. Everything stopped. That night, 25 people trusted Christ as their personal Savior. That was such a joy. You should have seen the faces on our teens. God answered prayer. That's a great thing. God does answer prayer. They were so excited. They were so pumped they couldn't wait to go to the next village and see what God was going to do. God was working in our teens and working in our group, and God was working in those villages. Listen, that village was bombarded by the sound. We couldn't have had the gospel that night. We prepared to sing in Spanish. We prepared to preach in Spanish. We prepared all that stuff and got all ready and all that distraction, but you know what? God's in control. And we can go to God for help. Listen, you have that same access to God through prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a precious promise. What a precious promise that is. God allows us to come boldly before His throne. Do you understand what that privilege is? Sometimes we forget how that was. In the Old Testament, they had to go before the priest, and only the high priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies behind the veil and make intercession before God. Catholics kind of got that stuck in their mind still, and they still kind of want to do that. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil was rent in twain. We have direct access to the Holy of Holies, folks. That's an amazing thing. The king stood before the congregation. And he prayed publicly unto the Lord, verses 5 and through 7. What a powerful prayer the king did. I think of Psalm 20, verse 7 says this, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God." Take a look at our text, and I want to go to verse 12 again. I mentioned if you mark your Bible, that's a good passage to mark. Look at verse 12 at the end. It says, "But our eyes are upon thee." Our eyes are upon thee. There's absolutely nothing that catches God by surprise. Oh, we get caught off by surprise many times, don't we? Nothing catches God by surprise. Jehoshaphat says, "Our eyes are upon you, Lord. You are the one that can help us. If you don't help us, we're doomed." God's in control, though. Even when we experience confusion in our life, setbacks, heartaches, and disappointments, our focus must stay on God. Our eyes will be on Him. He's the only one that can help us. So we see the position of the enemy. We see the prayer of the people. Number three, I want you to see, there was the promise of God. In verse 7, he says, "Gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever." We must turn to God's word in our difficulties. The king prayed and reminded God of the promise he had made with Abraham. What were these promises? That he would be a great nation. That he would bless him, bless his seed. He would bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse Israel. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Folks, it's a good thing to pray Scripture. It really is. Praying Scripture because you're praying the promises back to God. Lord, you said in your word this, and I believe this. By faith, help my unbelief. Help my faith to trust you to answer that according to your will. Notice again, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. Take a look at it. He says this. He said, at the end of it, he says, "Then thou wilt hear and help." He already had his faith and trust in God. He said, "Our eyes are upon you, Lord." And he says, "Then thou wilt hear and help." Our God hears and will help us. That's a blessing to know. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now that's very difficult because there's a fine line of foolishness and faith. But we trust God and we walk by faith and watch God work. When we walk by faith. Number four, I want you to see, there was the presence of God. We see in verse 14, the last part of verse 14, it says, "In the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." J. Oswald Sanders said it this way, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of God." That's good, isn't it? When God's presence is near, there's nothing to fear. God's Spirit brings peace and confidence and boldness. The Spirit of God spoke to them and said, let's look at verse 15. Let's read it. We didn't read this passage, but towards the end of verse 15, he says, "Be not afraid, nor be dismayed," "by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." That's a great statement. The Spirit of the Lord was in the midst of that congregation. Oh, we need the Spirit of the Lord today in our midst, don't we? We need to be walking in the Spirit of God each day. Is that your heart? Is your heart in tune with God so that you're walking in the Spirit, having the presence of Spirit? Mack Lynch wrote, from the Wilds Christian Camp, wrote a song based on Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. He says, "My God is near." It's a beautiful song he wrote. "Make me know your presence, Lord, the King of glory here. You know each thought and action, hope, anxiety, and fear. How can I hide from thee? Can darkness hide iniquity? Oh, how can I unfaithful be when you are so very near to me?" When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, every fear is set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near. Make me know your presence, Lord, when I feel so alone. You know each trial and test and pain, hurt that is unknown. Oh, why can I not see your hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrustingly be when you're very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, every fear is set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near. Years ago, I could have sung that, but I have difficulty with my voice. And so as you get older, that happens sometimes, but it's a beautiful written song. When God is near, when God is present, fear is put aside. Folks, the presence of God removes fear. What a blessing to experience the presence of God. Number five, I want you to see the protection of God. Verse 15, the last part of verse 15, be not afraid, the battle is not yours, but God's. Man, when we know God's going to fight that battle for us, there's nothing that we're going to be afraid about. God promised He would protect His people. I think of the verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 17, last part of verse 17, what it says. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. What a statement. They were told that they would not have to fight in verse 17. God would prevail when they faced impossible obstacles in life. God would make a way for them to escape. Even when we face the impossible needs of life, the Lord is near. He's here for with us. We need to bow the knee to Him. And this whole chapter is about prayer, and I'd encourage you, look this over afterwards, because I'm flying through this, because there's a lot of details here. Look at verse 18, what it says. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiped the Lord. Worship the Lord. There was the position of the enemy. There was the prayer of the people. There was the promise of God. There was the presence of God, the protection of God. And then number six, I want you to see, there was the praise of the people. The praise of the people. Now, this is where it gets good in this story. This is really amazing. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set up an ambush. What a strategic thing that God does. The moment they started singing, those enemies started fighting among each other, the ambush, and killing each other. That's amazing. You know, God's word is always truth. We can trust His word. The king appointed singers, and they sang. And I want you to understand, they sang praises unto the Lord before even any battle took place. He set up singers to sing before they had the victory of this battle. This is a true demonstration of faith in God. Trusting God and praying and singing unto the Lord and saying, Lord, we praise You for what You're going to do. We praise You for what You're going to perform on our behalf. By faith, they sang. Don't you see, Roman numeral 7, our last point, there was the power of God. Verse 23 says, and utterly to slay and destroy them, everyone helped to destroy one another or another. The Bible says that they sang. Look at verses 22. We got to read this because it's really good. And when they began to sing, to praise, the Lord set up an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look at verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They killed each other. They destroyed one another. The Lord set up this ambush for each army to destroy each other. Israel did not even have to lift a finger to fight. We worship God with our singing, folks. You don't understand it. We worship God with our singing. Singing brings glory to God. You think about what you're singing. I laugh because when I sit on the platform, and I've kind of moved down off the platform because I don't want to be distraction anymore, but I used to watch people, and when they're singing about God and singing great hymns of faith, and they're not smiling, I'm thinking, are you even thinking of the words you're singing? we got to think about the message of the song. And it's not about us, it's about Him. We want to honor Him. Give Him glory. We worship God with our singing. Prayer was answered and God intervened. Look to God for help, folks. Our eyes are upon You, Lord. Our eyes are upon Thee. Look to the Lord. He's the one that can help you. This is a great passage. I wish we could spend more time on it, but we don't have the time. But you look it over and look at the prayer and the power of prayer here. This is amazing what God did. Can you imagine what the children of Israel, after they got done singing, wow, God intervened. God did a miracle on our behalf. Do you think they got a little excited about that? I think so. I think they were excited about it. I don't think they were thinking, they were excited about what God did. Verse 12 reminds us, our eyes are upon Thee. Hey, when you're facing difficulties, you're facing trials, you're facing troubles, whatever's coming your way, our eyes are upon Thee. Put your eyes on the one that can help you. He's the only one that can do that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment here. If I could get the pianist to play 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus in a moment here. My friend, I don't know what you're going through, but I know God can help you in what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing, but you put your eyes on the Lord. He is our help. Maybe you're experiencing difficulties in your life. In this short little invitation, a few moments here, and after I pray, we'll have the piano play, and if God's speaking to you, why don't you come and just respond as God leads you.